Well, I'm glad to be here today. This is the first time I have ever spoken here, and so I appreciate the opportunity to be asked to come. I'm going to ask you to go ahead and turn in your Bibles, 1 Kings chapter 18, while I'm, entering just a moment. But today I was thinking, they were sharing that obviously the theme of the school is the idea of being a servant, and once again this year is challenging us as servants. And I just finished my Master's of Divinity last May, and I was taking an intensive class, and at the end of the week, I was talking to one of the professors. I was actually driving him to a place to drop him off, and we were sharing, because I'd been in ministry for a lot of years, and I learned so much about the Bible in college, and about all the different books of the Bible, and about ministry, and about so many areas. And I said to him as we were traveling, because I had just gone through a very difficult part of my life. I was actually out of ministry for 2 years. I have what I term an emotional breakdown. It wasn't a depression, but it really hit me hard. I had been in my third church. I was resigned. I was a youth pastor for 11 years in my home church. I was in Hagerstown, Maryland for 2, a rather difficult situation in ministry, and then God called me to be a senior pastor. And so I'm in this area, and I'm ministering, and I really felt that where I was, that my time was up. I'd only been there about 4 years, but I really felt that what I felt I could accomplish was going to be done. So I had got with a friend of mine. He was in a large church in Atlantic City, Virginia Beach, Virginia. And so we had agreed to come. I had my office there already. I had rented a home. And all those things that I looked for in ministry, I thought, this is it. Well, then when I was about a week away, I was getting ready to go see some friends to say goodbye. And all of a sudden, a wave of emotion came over me, in which such an upheaval. I was just wailing out. My wife came to see what was going on. And I said, we can't go. I was so worn out in ministry, and so many things that had happened in my life that I just knew I couldn't minister to 2 people rather than a couple thousand helping in that church. So it was absolutely impossible. And so when I'm talking to Dr. Fowler, the man that I had the class with, I said, you know, one of the areas that I feel I really never got help with was the area of the difficulties we face in ministry. I learned all about the Bible, I learned about this thing and that thing, but I really never got what I needed as far as facing difficulties. Now, I realize that you can't teach everything in a Bible college about what you're going to experience, but I do think you need to grasp a little bit of what it's like and get a little bit of a picture, because ministry, as much as I love it, I was out, as I said, for 2 years, but I could not wait till that moment where I felt that I was refreshed enough that when I heard of even little minor instances going on within a church, I didn't cringe, that I could get back there again. And God has been gracious, and He's allowed me, as was said today, I've been back in ministry almost 10 years at the same church. I absolutely love it. I love it with a passion. But I'm here to tell you today that if you're going to be a true servant of the Lord, there are going to be times in ministry that you're not going to understand everything God's doing. There are going to be times that it's going to be overwhelming. There may be times that people you thought were really your friends see things from a different viewpoint. And so we obviously can't cover all those kind of things today as we're looking, but I want to challenge you that as you get into ministry and as you go, whatever area you are in, that there will be some incredible blessings in your life. You will look and you'll say, God, I am so amazed at what you've done and who you are. And I'm going to be honest, there are going to be those other moments when you're going to question, God, where are you? Lord, I don't understand what you're allowing me to go through. I cannot grasp this situation. If you are interested, because we don't have time to go through some of the things that I really would like to share in more in depth with you, but I wrote a paper. I needed one more credit, so I had a friend down there said, can I get a class for 1 credit? And he gave it to me, and I wrote a paper on difficulties in ministry. And so the name of it is Surviving Crisis in Ministry. You'll see it on your screen. If you would like it, it's about 16 pages long. It's not the greatest paper in the world, but I think it might help some of you in the area of struggling. You can email us at elkviewbaptist@gmail.com. That's just to help you if you think it might be beneficial to you. So as we go in ministry, there are difficulties at times. I want to share today out of the book of 1 Kings, looking at the life of Elijah. Elijah, we're probably very familiar with, a great man of God, a great prophet of God. God used him tremendously. One of my favorite chapters in the Bible is part of what we'll look at today, 1 Kings chapter 18, where God did an incredible miracle. We know as we're in ministry, there are those things that bring incredible highs. This was one of those moments for Elijah. Just a quick background of the story. God tells Elijah to go confront Ahab because he's going to deal with them now. And so they come before these prophets of Baal, and he challenges them. He says, we're going to battle, and we're going to see who the real God is. So the prophets of Baal, they build this altar, they sacrifice to it, and no God ever hears them. Elijah, I love it, he makes fun of them. And so then he says, okay, you've had your turn, it's my turn. And they had rebuilt the altar of the Lord, and they came, and he prayed an incredible prayer to God. He said, God, I want to see you move in a mighty way, and let fire next did come down from heaven. God consumed it all, even the water that they had poured on to prove God was God. And so this was one of the highlights of Elijah's life. Now you would think that after you have seen God do something so magnificent that you would be on a spiritual high forever, at least for a long time. Well, I'm going to tell you what, it did not take long for the depths of despair to come into Elijah's life just as much as that highest high was in his own life. And in 1 Kings 19, which we'll look in a little bit, we'll see that he was in a very difficult situation, and it was a very difficult time. I remember it when I was in college, I had the privilege, my pastor, we didn't have email or cell phones or any of those kind of things back then. So he wrote me a letter. I was a freshman in college. And he said, if you want to preach when you come in Thanksgiving, you can preach either morning or evening. Now, those of you who are guys who preach, what are you going to pick, huh? So I said, I'll preach in the morning. Well, man, I was so excited. And then all of a sudden, as I began to think, oh, no, what I'm going to preach on? How am I going to do? What's going to happen? I took a nosedive. I was scared. I was nervous. You see, we can have those highest of highs thinking, boy, God is so incredible, and think we can go on forever, and all of a sudden something hits you, and it can be quick, and you take a nosedive and you go to the lowest of lows. Well, we see here today, and I'm going to share just three thoughts with you found in the book of 1 Kings verses 18, chapters 18 and 19. The first thought is this: spiritual success can quickly evaporate into despair. That is a reality of life. I mean, I wish I could stand up here and say, boy, I've been in ministry all these years, and even though there's been difficult times, every one of them have been great. The reality of it is, no, they have not all been great. There's been disappointments. There's been discouragements. There's been things in my own life that say, God, I feel like Paul. The things I want to do, I don't do. The things I do, I really don't want to be doing. I'm disgusted sometimes at where I am spiritually. There's going to be difficulties in ministry. You can go from a giant high to the depths of despair. In fact, it says in 1 Kings 18, beginning of verse 36, it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their hearts back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. Now, can you imagine being there in that scene, seeing God do this incredible miracle? Nothing had happened in Elijah's life, I do not believe, like he experienced that day. It was an incredible spiritual high. The problem was, even though they overcame and they got rid of the prophets of Baal, that Elijah began to focus upon an immediate threat. It began to talk about it. We won't look at all the verses, but in verses 1 through 5 of chapter 19, we see now that Elijah is responding in a much different way. In chapter 18, he's saying, oh God, you can do this incredible miracle, and I'm asking you to now do it now to prove yourself as God. In chapter 19, one woman, Jezebel, an incredibly wicked woman, says, Elijah, by this time tomorrow, you're going to be dead. And all of a sudden, all that faith and all that hope and all those dreams that Elijah had about his great God had all diminished. It went up with the sacrifice. It was consumed. And now he's dealing with, what am I going to do? How am I going to deal with this woman? I know how wicked she is. It said when he saw that, he rose and he went for his life. Even though God had performed an incredible miracle, Elijah is now running away from all that God did. The Bible said that he went into a desert, and he even declared to God he had had enough, and he said, I want to die. Can you look at that from one moment to the next? God is blessing his life in an incredible way, God performing a giant miracle, and the next moment he's down, ready to die, declaring to God, just go ahead and take me. What a change of emotion. You know, the wonderful thing in verses 5 through 7, I talk a little bit about it, that even in the depths of his despair, God was still taking care of him. You know, I found out in my life in those moments where it just seems like my faith is so weak and it seems like all those things that I was hoping for or got sort of turned around and the desires didn't come about as I thought they would, that God always took care of me. Sometimes it was just a day-by-day kind of thing that I could get through the day, but God always took care of me. God used people to take care of our needs. You know, when you're a pastor and you resign from a church or if something would happen and someone would get fired, you don't get unemployment. All of a sudden, you have to say, what's going to happen next? And if I had time today, I could tell you a few stories of how God just so amazingly took care of my family and me. It was amazing what God did. But you know, the sad thing about this whole story as we're starting to unfold it is this, that Elijah's sin crushed what may have become a national revival. The people of God finally declared that the Lord, He is God. He's the true God. And they're chanting, they're declaring it after they saw the fire come down and consume the sacrifice. And all of a sudden, instead of revival breaking out across the land, the leader ran away from God. In the depths of despair, forgetting everything God had done, and now what are the sheep going to do? Well, we know that they didn't really follow the Lord. It seemed to be the pattern of Israel's life. I am here to tell you that spiritual success can quickly evaporate into despair. You need to be ready for it. One of the things, the two things that I did when I knew that I was in a real downtime in my life, because emotionally I was gone, I knew two things I had to do. Number one, I had to continue reading God's word, whether I felt like it or not. And number two, I had to go to church, whether I cared if anybody saw me or I saw anybody. I just knew it had to be the pattern of my life. Those are two of the key things that helped me get through that very difficult time in my life from my side. Thank God for others who came along to help me, but it was difficult. The second thought today is simply this. The spectacular may get our attention, but the ordinary is where we usually hear from God. Man, I had an incredible event this morning. I went over to the church early, and my wife called about 8 o'clock. She works in Charleston, and she said, I need you at home. There was a big storm came, heavy rain, and all of a sudden it quit, and a big blast of wind came, and my wife's sitting in her van. We hadn't moved yet, and all of a sudden the back window of the van just goes, boom! I mean, blew the whole thing out. And so I had to run home, and we had to clean it up, and thank God for duct tape, you know what I'm saying? Plastic around it, and we got it taken care of. And so we left. That, for her, was a spectacular event in a small way today, sitting in the van, and all of a sudden it happens. You know, sometimes God allows spectacular events to happen in our lives to get our attention, but it's usually those ordinary events in life that gives us our strength and our guidance as we go along. You know, the spectacular highs can be emotionally draining. On Mondays, you know, they say that's the pastor's pity day or whatever. It's not usually too much for me, but it is a draining day. From day Sunday, if I speak three times on Sunday, Monday mornings, I'm wiped out. I am physically and emotionally drained if you're giving yourself the best you can in sharing. Those spectacular highs can be emotionally draining. You know, when I was a college student, I thought I was going to get a speak, and I did get a speak in the morning service. That was a spectacular moment for me. Next Thursday, I get ahead to the Philippines. First time in my life I've got to do something like this. I'm going to go on to speak with a missionary. I'll be speaking 18 times in 9 days. It's blowing my mind. I'm freaking out. I just want you to know that. I'm not even near ready. It's a spectacular moment in my life. It's something that after I finished my degrees that I said, God, I just want you to expand whatever it is you have for me. When the missionary, my friend, started writing down the itinerary and sending it across the email, I was so excited. The next day, I was so depressed. I started, how in the world can this happen? Spectacular moments can be emotionally draining. The Bible said in verses 8 and the beginning of 9 that Elijah arose and he went unto Horeb, the mountain of God, and he came thither to a cave and he lodged there. I mean, he found his couch. In my earlier days, there were times I would get down, I didn't even realize what I was doing, and I would hide myself and take a nap in a couch. That was my escape place. Elijah found a cave. He went to this place all by himself. He's there. They say that this may very well have been the same place Moses went when he heard from the Lord. So it may have been a very special place. Second part of verse 9 and verse 10, it says, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said to him, what doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left. And they seek my life to take it away. You know, God asked him a question, and I don't think Elijah really answered what God wanted him to do. Sometimes I think we hear God, but we're not totally listening to what he is saying. I think that was true for him. Some people may say, well, I know what God's word says, therefore I'll just take it as it is. I know what he's saying. I've known that for a long time. But they really aren't listening to what God is saying to them. God asked him what he was doing there, and Elijah told him how he felt, not why he ran away or why he wasn't trusting him. Elijah was in a serious pity party mode. He was so down, he was so depressed, he was so out of it that all he wanted to do was escape from everything. If you've gone through something like that, you start to understand. If you start to head that direction and see yourself wanting to get away from all those people you love, you need to perk up and pay attention. God had to get Elijah's attention for him to listen. And so in verses 11 through 13, you've heard them this morning. It said, and he said, go forth and stand upon the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. And it was so when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle and he went out and stood in the entering in of the cave. You see, the second time God asked the question, it seemed to make Elijah think a little bit more about what God was saying, about what God actually wanted to tell him. You see, it was the same question, it was the same answer. And now this time, though, it seems like Elijah's listening just a little bit, and he's hearing from God. And that's such an important part of listening. You know, the spectacular's there. It may come around you. You can look back in your life maybe, even since you've been here at college, and there have been a few spectacular moments that God used to get your attention. I remember a few, and especially it seems like God uses college years to do that. Some of those moments where all of a sudden you can even look back, even as I can in those years, that there were moments God met with me. They were spectacular moments. They weren't for anybody else but me. But what I found out is so often God just uses those usual things in life. That daily time when you get alone before God and you're in His Word. Those moments when you're just chatting with friends and God allows you to learn some things together. Those things that you just go by and say, hey, what'd you do yesterday? And you have to think for a moment and say, oh, nothing special. But you knew you were doing the things you should be doing. In those moments are the times God will continue teaching you. He may use some of the spectacular to get your attention, but He's going to use that still small voice, that quiet voice of God, for you to learn to listen in a sensitive way to what He has for you. My final thought today is simply this: listening will bring us back to reality. Now, what I mean by listening, you remember Elijah listened to God the first time. I mean, he was there and he heard what God said, but he didn't really listen. Listening, really listening, will bring us back to reality. 1 Kings 19, verses 15 through 18. And the Lord said unto him, go, return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria, and Jehu the son of Nimshi that shalt anoint to be king over Israel, and Elisha the son of Shaphat of Abel-Meholath shalt thou anoint to be prophet in thy room. Verse 18, yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which hath not kissed him. You see, God sent Elijah back to where he had veered off track. He said, I want you to go back. You know, good advice for us, when we start to veer off course, when we start to get fearful in whatever it is that comes our way, rather than trusting God, go back to those moments, go back to that place where you really were trusting God, where you really were looking at Him and listening to what He had to say. Elijah was that kind of person who had to finally listen to God. Then God told him that He was not done with him, that God had work for him to do. You know, you may or may not be in ministry full-time yet. Some of you may be part-time, interns, different areas. And there may be those moments when you have failed. Maybe in some of your high school years, you feel like you failed. I'm so glad that whether it's those moments or it's Elijah's moment or moments in my life, that God says, I am not done with you. Those are incredible words that He gave to Elijah. Said, don't worry, I've still got a job for you to do. And He told him what he wanted to do, and he went back. You see, the true reality was not that Jezebel was going to kill Elijah, but that God was in control. It didn't matter what she said about Elijah or to Elijah. What mattered was God was in charge. The true reality was not that Elijah was all alone in serving God, but God had 7,000 who had never bowed to Baal. 7,000. And yet Elijah's feeling like he's the only one. You see, those were not true aspects of the reality. But true reality is simply this, that God is in full control and you can trust Him. Whatever it is in your life, you can trust God because He is literally in control. True reality is that we need to continually listen to His voice and not to the clamor of the world. All those things that will try to get our attention. A few weeks ago, I was sharing about I needed to focus Saturday night. I wanted to go over my message, but there was a show I wanted to watch. And so it was hard to focus on what God was trying to tell me. So guess what I did? I quit studying. I wanted to watch the show. So when I got done watching the show and quit trying to do one of two things, then I could hear from what God was wanting to say to me. But it took me getting quiet before God. It took me getting to the point of listening to what God had to say before I could really know what he wanted me to do. You know, you can, even in college, feel emotionally shot down. You can feel like you're ready to give it all up. You pack up your stuff. You walk out the door. I saw my friends, some of them do it. Go all semester. And in the last week, pack it all up and head home. Doesn't matter where you are. What matters is that you learn to focus and get quiet and listen to God. You're going to have difficult times in life. If when you come into ministry, there's going to be some incredibly wonderful opportunities and blessings, and God is going to be so gracious to you. And there are going to be those other moments that you are going to feel like, God, you've left me all alone. I'm the only one left standing. Where's everybody else? Lord, I don't understand the emotion of what's going on. Lord, I don't understand the attacks upon my family. Lord, I don't understand this difficulty and that difficulty. I just can't grasp it. But I'm going to tell you what. If you learn to listen quietly to God's still small voice, He will lead you. He will heal you. He'll give you everything you need in your life. But it's going to be a discipline. When I was hurting, I let God know how I felt. I was ticked at Him. I was mad. And after I got done being mad, spouting off and telling Him what I thought, He said, "Are you done yet?" He said, "Now let me tell you a few things." I don't think it hurts God's feelings to share with Him how we feel in any kind of emotion. But I do know that after we're done sharing, we've got to be willing to listen. And I hope in your heart, whatever it is you go through now or you may go through in the future, as one of God's servants, that you will listen and let Him speak to you. I'm going to ask us to bow our heads. We'll close this chapel. I'm going to pray in just a moment, but I just really challenge you. It's been so many years, but I remember those things God did in my heart when I was in those moments, in some of those classes, in the environment of Christian college. God did so many great things, but there were also some tough times, some real learning experiences that God had for me. But it's in those moments that we learn to understand and know God and appreciate God in a much greater way. My challenge to you today is, no matter what you face in ministry, you keep your eyes on the Lord, you keep your heart and your mind quiet before Him, and as He speaks to you, listen, obey, and He will bless. Father, today I'm very thankful for the opportunity to share with so many here today. Lord, it is a thrilling moment for me to look back and be reminded of the years that You gave me in my earlier years of learning and growing. And Lord, even today, there are things that are difficult in ministry. But God, You continue to teach me that I can trust You, that I can lean upon You, that I can share my utmost and very innermost parts of my heart with You. And God, You always are so gracious to listen. And then, Lord, how important it is to be quiet before You. So may You challenge us today as You're speaking to each individual's heart to whom You've spoken. May they learn from this today. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.